The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
I've been to quite a few Donald Trump rallies as he's campaigned for president. Every one was huge, with tens of thousands of people in attendance. In every case, there were lines of people so long that the venues couldn't hold all those that wanted to be there. The rallies were enormous because the majority of Americans are desperate for some good news, an optimistic message, a little hope for a return to the good old-fashioned American dream, and make America great again, with an emphasis on rebuilding the foundations of our country's glory days, resonated with so many. Of course, there were always the liberal leftists out there protesting. Their message was and continues to be that America was never great in the first place, that we've always been a nation run by oppressive, tyrannical, white Christian males who rose to power by trampling the less fortunate, making sure the downtrodden remain downtrodden as they built obscene fortunes on the backs of the poor workers. This is what's been taught in American history classes in our public schools and colleges for decades. And certainly there are some examples of this within our history, but for the most part, our nation was built on hard work, diligence, innovation, and a deep abiding faith in God to lead, guide, and sustain us as a diverse people, one nation under God. Our American ancestors, from the first colonists who left their homelands to sail to the New World, to the pioneers that traversed the harsh wilderness and put down roots in the West, to those who endured the Great Depression and Dust Bowl days, to those who lived through two world wars, they all had one thing in common. They were united. Our U.S. Constitution, written in 1787, begins with, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union." Yes, we were united as a people, and the stars and stripes meant something. God had blessed our people and our new nation, and we honored and revered him. We recognized and were thankful for his blessings. On April 30, 1789, in New York City, which was our capital at the time, George Washington was officially sworn in as our first president under the Constitution. He knelt down and kissed the Bible on which he took his oath of office, and he finished his oath with the words, "So help me God." Certainly, America has never been a perfect nation. There is no such thing. After all, nations are made up of imperfect people. And yes, we can look back and see plenty of blemishes on the legacy we've left in history. But for a couple of centuries, we were God-fearing people. As a nation, we did our best for our families, our communities, and our neighbors. We were also a lighthouse to the world, sending missionaries to hostile lands to share the word of God, sending aid and comfort to those impoverished and in need, and even sending our young people to fight and die for freedom in countries that were attacked by vicious enemies. I'm especially impressed with the way our ancestors survived the Great Depression and World War II, because my grandparents raised their families during the Great Depression, a time when nobody really had anything they could count on except God's mercy and grace. I think it's safe to say they prayed without ceasing, and God saw them through. And at age 17, my dad enlisted in the U.S. Navy and went to fight in the Pacific during World War II, while my mom worked as a Rosie the Riveter in a McDonnell Douglas factory building warplanes that would defeat the enemy. Like most Americans, for most of their lives, my parents learned to live with very little in the way of material things. Americans scrimped and saved. They conserved resources, recycled everything, didn't indulge in luxuries, lived within their means, and gave generously and oftentimes sacrificially to others in need. And as the closing line of our Declaration of Independence says, "And with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Generations ago, our children used to have that phrase memorized, because real American history was taught in our schools, and it meant something. Divine providence, by the way, refers to dependence on God. And our sacred honor meant a person's integrity, reputation, and moral standing. But oh, how things have changed. Reverence for God is all but non-existent in America now. There's no fear of the Lord. That's been replaced by luxury and ease, self-indulgence, recreation, and an attitude of entitlement. We no longer pledge anything to our neighbors and fellow citizens, certainly not our lives or fortunes. And sacred honor? What in the world is that? You know, there are 8 stages that all nations go through during their existence. This has been proven to be true throughout history, and here's how it goes. First, bondage. People live under oppression, instability, and poverty. Like the Israelite captives in Egypt, our ancestors were suffering in bondage under crushing religious oppression. Then comes spiritual faith and courage, because hardship produces resilience, shared values, and determination. And just as the Lord freed the Israelites from Egypt, but certainly not without hardship, He also freed the American pilgrims out of bondage through their faith and courage. Then comes liberty. This is when the people win freedoms, spiritual, political, economic, and social. But liberty deserves a little more attention here. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Paul was telling the Corinthians that God's Holy Spirit provides freedom from spiritual bondage, freedom from fear and condemnation, and transformation of the inner person. Yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Those who view God as irrelevant or claim to not even believe He exists should pay special attention to this. So, I will say it again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of the Lord was with those God brought out of bondage to a new land that would become the USA. But the cycle continues. Liberty then produces abundance, as freedom and productivity create wealth and prosperity. But if a nation forgets where that liberty came from, which is the Spirit of the Lord, complacency comes next, because success reduces urgency, discipline, civic responsibility, and most importantly, reverence for God. The next step is apathy. When people have abundance, luxury, and ease, the citizens become disengaged from public life and institutions. They forget where they came from, how they got here, what their ancestors endured, built, and defended. They no longer care. A once God-fearing people not only forget God, they often begin to despise Him, preferring instead to be their own gods. The Spirit of the Lord departs, and without the people even realizing it, history is either forgotten or rewritten to facilitate the nefarious agendas of the enemies within. This apathy leads to dependence, with increasing reliance on the state, elites, or political leaders. Now they not only rely on government for their sustenance and support, they view those things as entitlements. And once a nation reaches this point, they quickly return again to bondage. And so the cycle comes full circle. So where do you see the United States in this cycle? We once had liberty, abundance, freedom, productivity, wealth, and prosperity. When did apathy begin to creep in? I'd argue it began in 1962 when the Supreme Court outlawed prayer in public schools, and a year later when they did away with Bible reading and reciting the Lord's Prayer. Then in 1964 and 65, Lyndon Johnson launched his Great Society and the War on Poverty plans, creating Medicare and Medicaid, funding bills for so-called education, and various environmental programs. This also led to government programs like the Job Corps, Head Start, food assistance programs, and a myriad of community action agencies. Of course, this led to dependency on big government, which has kept millions, especially the black voters he was targeting, in our inner cities as virtual slaves for multiple generations. But that was only the start. Today, this dependence on government for basic needs has expanded to the point where 25% of our young people prefer socialism, and 1 in 4 Americans across the board now receive some sort of government aid or welfare. Not only are they dependent, they're expectant. They feel they're entitled to their benefits. It used to be that a person might receive benefits as part of a job package. They'd get their paycheck and also some additional benefits for work well done, insurance, a retirement plan, vacation time, and bonuses. Now those things are expected as entitlements by those who don't work, may have never worked, and don't know what work is. Compare today's society to that of those who came before us. This is not the nation our ancestors built. We escaped bondage, experienced prosperity and liberty, built one nation under God, but have now returned to bondage by our own choosing. The Spirit of the Lord has departed our land, and so there is no more liberty here. As I've said before, throughout the history of the world, the average lifespan of a nation or empire is 250 years. For us, the U.S., that's this year. Big celebrations are planned for the 4th of July. In Washington, D.C., they're planning for the world's biggest fireworks display. Trump is releasing commemorative coins with his image on it to mark the event. And sadly, most Americans, especially our young people, don't even know what we're celebrating. Yes, a lot of people love the concept of Make America Great Again, but they have no interest in putting in the work to do it, like our ancestors did. Today, we're dependent and expectant. We expect Trump to do it for us. Trouble is, he can't. We're no longer one nation under God. We're now one of many nations under God's judgment. Instead of pridefully celebrating, we should be mourning in sackcloth and ashes for what we had and what we lost, or should I say, voluntarily gave away. There are still many who will say that America's greatest years are still ahead of us. They're optimistic about our future. Even many churchgoers expect a massive revival to occur, although they're doing nothing at all to help make that happen. Meanwhile, people continue to expect politicians to fix it all. Friends, there's no fixing it. America's beyond bankrupt, and not just financially. The Spirit of the Lord has departed because of our complacency, apathy, laziness, and selfish entitlement and pride. The good news is that anyone who will can still repent individually. Anyone who will turn to Christ as Savior and Lord can and will be saved. But as a nation, clearly America's days are numbered and the clock is ticking. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com and ask for message number 504.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at WisconsinChristianNews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.